by His divine grace on Vishnu Paraparamahansa, Parivrajakacharya Ashutosha Sisimandisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Govinda, is the exclusive shelter for all great living beings, and His transcendental attributes cannot even be measured by such masters of mystic powers as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar, rasa, ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about Him? Purport. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are two chiefs of the demigods. They are full of mystic powers. For example, Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison, of which one drop was sufficient to kill an ordinary living being. Similarly, Lord Brahma could create many powerful demigods, including Lord Shiva. So they are Ishwaras, or lords of the universe, but they are not the supreme powerful. The supreme powerful is Govinda, Lord Krishna. He is the transcendence, and His transcendental attributes cannot be measured even by such powerful Ishwaras as Shiva and Brahma. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the exclusive shelter of the greatest of all living beings. Brahma is counted amongst the living beings, but He is the greatest of all of us. And why is the greatest of all living beings so much attached to the transcendental topics of Lord Krishna? Because Krishna is the reservoir of all enjoyment. Everyone wants to relish some kind of taste in everything. But one who is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord can derive unlimited pleasure from such engagement. The Lord is unlimited. His name, attributes, pastimes, entourage, variegatedness, etc. are unlimited. And those who relish them can do so unlimitedly and still not feel satiated. This fact is confirmed in the Padma Purana. Ramanti yogino anante satyananda chit atmani iti rama padena sho param brahma bhidhi jate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasures from the absolute truth, and therefore the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is also known as Rama. There is no end to such transcendental discourses. In mundane affairs, there is the law of cessation, but in transcendence, there is no such cessation. Suta Goswami desired to continue the topics of Lord Krishna before the sages of Naimashanya, and the sages also expressed their readiness to hear from Him continuously. Since the Lord is transcendence, and His attributes are transcendental, such discourses increase the receptive mood of the purified audience. Om Agyan Tmidam Sachanan Janan Shalakya Takshuru Mentam Jina Tashmai Sri Guru Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Garbha Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, translation. Srila Prabhupada says, the personality of God is Lord Sri Krishna, then in brackets he calls Govinda, is the exclusive shelter for all living beings. So why the name Govinda has appeared here? Prabhupada says the supreme powerful is Govinda, Lord Krishna. He is the transcendence. So, Govinda is on the platform of Abhideya, or the process of devotional service. So that is actually he says Govinda is transcendent. So this is the transcendental platform, the platform of devotional service. And when one is on the platform of actual transcendental service, then it says here, anyone who is he is exclusive shelter for all great living beings. A great living being is Brahma, but also a great living being is actually a person who's understood transcendence. Then you can actually be considered great. One who understands transcendence and engages on that platform of transcendence in serving Govinda, then what is the result? Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar or rasa ever be fully satiated by hearing the topics about him? So then you can actually get nectar or rasa. Yeah. So, to come to this state of transcendence, to be able to serve Govinda, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Chaitanyamrita, I read this portion because it's important for us. And here he's quoting about the three deities, Madan Mohan Ji, Govinda Ji, and Gopinath Ji. And he's quoting their pranam prayers. This is from the Adi Leela, chapter 1, text number 19. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying, these three deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, have absorbed the heart and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Lord Chaitanya. I worship their lotus feet, for they are the lords of my heart. So we're also supposed to be Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or followers of Lord Chaitanya. He is our hero. So we should be following very closely in his footsteps. Purport. The author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita offers his respectful obeisances unto the three deities of Vrindavan, namely Radha Madana Mohan, Sri Radha Govinda Dev, and Sri Radha Gopinath Ji. These three deities are the life and soul of the Bengali Vaishnavas, or the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who have a natural aptitude for residing in Vrindavan. Mayapur is not different than Vrindavan. So all Gaudiya Vaishnavas residing in Vrindavan. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas also follow strictly in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they worship the divinity by chanting transcendental sounds meant to develop a sense of one's transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord. A reciprocation of mellows, rasa, same word, of mutual affection, and ultimately the achievement of the desired success in loving service. So he's used it in the same connection here. He's using the word rasa in the purport of the Bhagavatam, and using the word Govinda he's bringing. So here it's used again in connection. They're mentioned together. I'll read it again. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas who follow strictly in line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship the divinity by chanting transcendental sounds meant to develop a sense of one's transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord, it's Madan Mohan. A reciprocation of mellows, rasa, this is Govindaji. Rasas of mutual affection. And ultimately, the achievement of the desired success in loving service, Gopinath. These three deities are worshipped in three different stages of one's development. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scrupulously follow these principles of approach. Gaudiya Vaishnav perceived the ultimate objective in the Vedic hymns composed of 18 transcendental letters that adore Krishna as Madana Mohan, Govinda and Gopichana Balava. This is the... You're chanting the Gayatri Mantra, which mentions Krishna, Govinda and Gopichana Balava. This is the 18th syllable mantra. And the object of chanting that mantra is to awaken the cognizant potency of the living entity. See, Satchit Ananda, we are Satchit Ananda, eternal. And knowledge, cognizant, we are cognizant or aware. Ananda means full of bliss. But this mantra specifically awakens the cognitive principle of the chit aspect of our... In other words, it's supposed to make us cognitive of spiritual existence, to awaken us to our spiritual existence. It's already there, but it's simply we've forgotten. So it's to reawaken our cognitive existence as spirit and simultaneously be cognizant of spirit. Because there is no difference. Aham Brahmasmi, Krishna says, I am Brahman, and the living entity is Aham Brahmasmi. So cognizant, to be cognizant of oneself is also to be cognizant of the Supreme Lord, because there's no disconnection. So you're actually awake, just like in this material stage, we think there's no like disconnection between myself identifying as the body and the material world. I'm part of the material world. There's no difference. So similarly, in the awakened stage, you're realizing your identity with this spirit. So you're awake to that aspect, not the material aspect. So this mantra specifically also awakens that cognizant aspect. So then you can actually begin pure devotional service. Madan Mohan is he who charms Cupid, the god of love. Govinda is he who pleases the senses and the cows. And Gopichana Balava is the transcendental lover of the gopis. Krishna himself is called Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopichana Balava, and countless other names as he plays different pastimes with his devotees. The three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopichana Balava, have very specific qualities. Worship of Madan Mohan is on the platform of re-establishing our forgotten relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, we are presently in utter ignorance of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Pango refers to one who cannot move independently by his own strength. This word Pango comes in the verse where he's glorifying Madan Mohan. Jayatam Surato Pangor. And the translation is one who is lame. So Prabhupada's saying here that Pangu refers to one who cannot move independently by his own strength. Means his name. But first he said, we've forgotten our relationship with Krishna, we've forgotten our spiritual existence. So how can you move independently? You have no spiritual legs, you've forgotten your spiritual existence. So you're lame. He's pointing out we're lame now because we're in utter ignorance, Prabhupada says. Forgotten our own spiritual identity. Therefore we can't move independently by our own strength. My strength now, I'm comparing to the body mind. I can do so many things, I'm so strong, but it's not referring to that kind of strength. But as my real self, I can't do anything. I don't even know who I am. Therefore, how can I even? So I'm lame. I can't. Anything I have to do, I'm dependent on this body. I can't go from here to there without the use of this body. But in spiritual existence, you can do things you cannot do. You can walk. So spiritual legs are there. You can run with Krishna. But you got to get spiritual legs. So now we cannot, we've forgotten. We are lame and we've forgotten our eternal relationship with Krishna. And we cannot move independently by our own strength. And the word mandamati is one who is less intelligent because he is too absorbed in materialistic activities. It is best for such persons not to aspire for success in fruitive activities or mental speculation, but instead simply to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The perfection of life the perfection of life is simply to surrender to the Supreme. In the beginning of our spiritual life, we must therefore worship Madan Mohan so that he may attract us and nullify our attachment for material sense gratification. This relationship with Madan Mohan is necessary for neophyte devotees. And if you do not know yourself, then we should consider ourselves neophyte devotees. So it's necessary that we actually worship Madan Mohan to attract and nullify our attachment to sense gratification. Because Madan Mohan, Madan is Cupid. And he attracts, Cupid in this world is attracting everyone only, willingly. When Cupid starts firing his arrows, everybody willingly runs. They willingly go along with it. So he's the most attractive person in the world, but Krishna is Madana Mohan, he means he even attracts Cupid the most. So the idea is that if we become attracted to Madana Mohan, we're going to lose our attraction to Cupid. So therefore, that's the beginning. Lose our attraction to the material world. How? By getting attraction to Madan Mohan. When one wishes to render service to the Lord with strong attachment, one worships Govinda on the platform of transcendental service. Govinda is a reservoir of all pleasure. Prabhupada said, Gita, Krishna and Arjuna are speaking, that is Govinda. Because on the platform, Arjuna is eternal friend of Krishna. This is a leela is going on. Although Arjuna is seemingly put into ignorance, it's actually a leela, it's part of Krishna's leela. Now we've got Bhagavad Gita. So it's a transcendental activity between Krishna. The conversation is going on between Krishna and his devotee. It's a completely transcendental affair. And it's full of rasa. Krishna's enjoying this conversation. But it's going on the transcendental platform. Abhideya. So, okay. When one wishes to render service to the Lord with strong attachment, one worships Govinda on the platform of transcendental service. Because Govinda is a reservoir of all pleasure. The pleasure is going to come from this transcendental service. When, by the grace of Krishna, the devotee and the devotees, one reaches the perfection in devotional service, he can approach Krishna as Gopichana Balabha, the pleasure deity of the damsels of Braja. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this mode of devotional service in three stages. And therefore these worshipful deities were installed in Vrindavan by different Goswamis. They are very dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scrupulously follow these principles of approach. It's important. Scrupulously means not missing any kind of detail. Everything is done to the... So these instructions are given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, For our benefit, they have given us so much information on how to approach Krishna there. And starting from the whole process of sadhana, which is based around chanting Hare Krishna, which is the principal means of sadhana. And all these rules and regulations that we get in the whole process of sadhana are given by these persons who are not on the platform of sadhana bhakti. They're eternally liberated souls. Rupa Goswami, this is the Swamis, they're not on the platform of sadhana. They're performing pure spontaneous devotional service. Yet they're giving us instruction because we're not here. This is how to come to this stage of pure devotional service. Then they've written volumes of books on sadhana. And here they're very kindly given us an explanation that you can't simply go to Gopinathji because he's very attractive. You can't even go directly to Govinda and perform transcendental service. Now first you have to have attachment to Madan Mohan. And then that'll, according to the degree of attachment you have from Madan Mohan, that degree of detachment you'll have from material world. So it's therefore it says very scrupulously we have to follow these principles that are given by the Six Goswamis. Otherwise, it won't be easy. They've given a process that we have to follow it. And if we follow it, then their blessings are there. Otherwise, why would they bother to write all those things if there wasn't any blessings behind them? Even Krishna Das Kaviraj, he quotes those prayers to Govinda, and then he's very kindly saying, may they shower their benedictions on all upon us. So he's sharing his own prayers, praying for benedictions with everyone. May they shower their benedictions on all of us. So the acharyas are very kind. They're giving us a whole process. So we were hearing yesterday the value of association of the devotee, because they can give you that bhakti lata bij. They can give you the process of devotional service. And it's the only thing that we need in this material world. Otherwise there's plenty of everything else. The only thing lacking is devotional service, and that they come to give. But association is one thing. And it mainly means hearing, associating by hearing. That's another thing. But to act, this is the real thing. If you don't act on it, there's not much meaning to it. You're fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee, which is, you know how rare it is, the block of wood with a hole in it floating on the ocean, and a turtle comes up every 100 years, and what's the chance of his putting his nose through the hole in the block of wood? That's how rare it is to meet a pure devotee. It's practically beyond the calculation, the chances. But if you do meet one and you hear from one, but if you don't act, then what is the use? But of course, that will act in the future. In the future you will act, but why not act right now? It won't go in vain, that moment's association. It'll come up again. But why not act now? And if we act according to the dictation of the devotees, then the success is guaranteed in spiritual life. Then it's simply plain sailing. All we've got to do is simply strictly follow their instructions. They've given the process. They're from the spiritual world. They know how the spiritual world works. They know what goes on there. And they know that they come to the material world. And they know the best way to get there. Especially to Goloka, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to give us. So they're given the best way to perform service. It's the best way to develop the proper sentiment to getting back to Radha and Krishna. Everything about it is given by these self-realized souls. They checked it out. They came here. They checked the whole world out and said, yeah, this is the best way to do it. And Krishna gives them the power of attorney to his devotee. Okay. You suss the situation out, then whatever you say, I'll... So they come, they see the situation of Kali Yuga, and they give a program. And we simply have to follow that program. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, the activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are being conducted under the guidance of Srila Rupa Goswami. And the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, well, it's only 1965 it was formed. Rupa Goswami was 500 years ago. But no, Prabhupada said this. Because this is movement. He was given practically the charge of it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So naturally he's interested in this movement. So the activities of the International Society for Krishna are being conducted by Srila Rupa Goswami. That means they're not aloof from the society. They're very much happy to see that. Because they're servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's his desire. They want to satisfy his desire. And we get an opportunity to assist in that. That's all. And by that assistance, we get purified. We get mercy from the pure devotees. But they're simply anxious to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the most efficient instrument at the moment that's spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu around the world. Why Prabhupada sometimes say, did you see Lord Brahma or Narada Muni came? Did you see? No, because they're interested. That's how it's his parampara. He must be very proud, Lord Brahma. That, oh, my parampara, you know, this is the time for it. Lord Chaitanya appeared in it, and now it's the predictions in existence. He's very happy they're coming down. Have a look. Narada Muni come there, the same parampara. So they're not aloof from it. They're helping. They're still all helping. All those acharyas to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they so kindly just give us an opportunity to take part, and therefore I purify our existence and go back to Godhead. So all we have to do is simply hear and follow their words. That's all. We don't have to concoct or speculate or anything like that. Just like the we're all talking about spiritual advancement, and everybody, we always have only so many questions about our spiritual advancement. But the advancement is with you. It's with you right now. It's the closest thing you carry with you practically all the time. It's the closest thing. The whole secret of your advancement is, it's in this little bag that you carry around your neck. The whole society is based on this chanting Hare Krishna. And we're getting this. And then we get, at least chant 16 rounds. Practically, that's the only instruction some people we get. The only instruction we get from the spiritual master. Positive. Four regulations and chant Hare Krishna 16 times. The Guru tells you that. And maybe he'll never give you another instruction. So actually, how important is that? But everybody gets that. It's so important. He gives other, you can do this, you do this service, you do this. But everybody, chant 16 rounds. So we really have to put this into practice, because this is what they are saying. We really have to learn how to chant. Prabhupada said, my students are practicing chanting Hare Krishna. Not just because I got my initiation on my beat bag, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. It's a little bit more than that. They're practicing chanting Hare Krishna. Practice means practice and perfection. Practice. So that means there's a perfection also. The word practice indicates there's a perfection. So he says, my students are practicing chanting Hare Krishna. That means the perfection is to come. And another time Prabhupada said, those who have mastered the art of chanting Hare Krishna, he said, it's an art. And those who have mastered the art, so it's an art. The whole we should take it very seriously, especially this, this point of japa, chanting 16 rounds every day, because it's such an important element. In fact, it's the most important element in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. It's the Yuga Dharma. It's the principal means for going back to Godhead. Someone asked Prabhupada once, what should we be thinking when we're chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, there's no question of thinking. The mind is not involved in this. This is japa. means you're just this, you're hearing. He said the tongue is going. You're hearing that sound vibrating. That's all. Maybe beads, fingers may be moving. Otherwise, there's no question of thinking. So this is absorption in simply the sound vibration. But if we're chanting japa, we're thinking of sex life or the extensions of sex life, home, family, livelihood. It's sense gratification. If we're chanting Hare Krishna, thinking of transcendental knowledge, Krishna conscious philosophy is gyan. If we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're thinking of the form of the deities in our minds and Krishna's pastimes, it's gyan, meditation. It's not japa. Karma, gyan and yoga, that's all. But how much do they come in when we're chanting? We're supposed to just be hearing the sound vibration of the holy name. But so many of these other thoughts are coming in, and look at the attitude behind it also. Gyan, I want knowledge, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I want, it's a demand completely against devotional principles. You're demanding Krishna, want knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Thinking of the Leela of Krishna. At the holy name, he can reveal all of these things. He can reveal his name, he can reveal his qualities, reveal his pastimes, and he wants to do that. In fact, that's all he wants to do. But we're thinking, I'm depending on my ability more, I'll put the pictures there. But it's a good aid for me. Krishna's assisting me. The holy name is a good aid for my thinking or meditating. So it's helping me, in other words. You know, we're taking service from Krishna. So the whole thing behind it is the attitude is practically offensive towards the holy name. In the Rig Veda also it's said that it gives you a definition of japa. It says that in japa, the mind should be absorbed in the mantra, and the mantra should be absorbed in the mind. Then you get the fruit of the japa. So we're wondering sometimes why we don't get the fruit from japa, but is our mind absorbed in the mantra, and the mantra simply absorbed, and that's all? And like it's only one and a half or 2 hours a day that we get it. And just a little period we have every day, but still I'm bringing so much karma, so much gyan, so much yoga, so much of my own desires. Showing so much lack of faith in the holy name, the principal means. And we really don't have that much faith in it. Otherwise, why are we projecting all of our own towards us? Just a short japa period we get, but still I'm thinking of my, you know, my karma, my gyan, my yoga, my meditation. So the whole attitude, you know, we're just actually treating Krishna like a merchant. But what is Krishna's feelings then? Think from his side. We're taking service from Krishna, we're treating him like that. What from Krishna's side? Because, and Krishna's just here, he's it's directed, but we're supposed to be devotees of Krishna. We're supposed to be chanting and to please Krishna, develop a relationship with Krishna. And Krishna's sitting there, and we're simply thinking of ourselves. And what's Krishna? You know, what's he feeling? And he's saying, "Don't I mean more than that to you? No, I love you more than anything in the world. and you're coming to me for karma, jnana, yoga. I'm ready to give myself completely to you, exclusively. And you're coming asking me for it. It's just like the gopis, they criticized Krishna for the same thing. When they wrote, why you sent Uddhava with that letter to us in Vrindavan? He said, don't worry, because separation from us is impossible at any time. And I am all pervading. You're always with me. And you simply can close your eyes and meditate and think of my path. The Radharani and Gopis were saying, why are you treating us like common jnanis and yogis? We're accustomed to love you from the very beginning of our lives. And you're writing a letter saying, be jnani and be yogi. I'm all pervading, see me everywhere, meditate on me. But we love you from the beginnings of our life. Why are you treating us? It's not right for you to treat us like this. There he's saying, Krishna's the same for us, right? He's sitting there. This is his mood. And we're saying, give us karma, give us yoga, give us jnana. Disrespectful. So he's saying, you know, if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to let karma and jnana and knowledge stand in front of us, then you really don't understand my love for you. That's just... So as Krishna is actually longing for us to turn to him, that's all he's just longing for us to turn to. Even in all the different 84 like species of life, Prabhupada said he's sitting there, he's just longing for the living entity to turn again to him. But why can't we have that longing also for Krishna? We should know his feelings. The whole purpose of this process of bhakti is to satisfy Krishna's feelings. And we appear to be doing the opposite thing by all this. My attitude, you know, I'm actually become the center of everything. So we should, as Prabhupada said, you learn to cry like a child for Krishna, completely dependent on Krishna. Krishna, we do need you more than anything else. I tried karma, I tried jnana, I tried yoga, I tried it billions and billions of births, but I'm still not satisfied. I do need you, Krishna, more than anything. This should be our approach. And just depend on Krishna, not on our own abilities. We're very proud of our ability. That even we get knowledge from Krishna, it gets come down by his pure devotees. You don't get any closer associates than Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari. They're right there, they're giving all this knowledge, and we think, well, you know, my way is actually better. I take assistance, you can assist me in my way. I like chanting Hare Krishna because it assists me in doing things my way. Utter ignorance is probably absorbed in utter ignorance in Kali Yuga. But at least we have to put it into practice. At least one day, next day, we say, well, let me perform this. At least this japa period, which we should be very attentive to. So we can get this realization of Madan Mohan Govind and Gopinath. Tomorrow, let me do it and keep my mind there at least 10 seconds more. And then the next day, let me keep another 10 seconds and whatever it takes. When Shamashunda was making the deity of Jagannath, because they're brand new devotees, but Prabhupada said, who can make a deity? He made the deity of Jagannath. Prabhupada went to see it, and there was a packet of cigarettes on Jagannath's head. Prabhupada went with his cane and he flicked it off. And so Shamashunda was really ashamed, but he said, Prabhupada, what can I do? You know, I'm habituated. He said, you're smoking a packet of cigarettes every day. He said, tomorrow you smoke one less. Then the next day you smoke another less. Next day you smoke three less. Next day you smoke four less. So then you can give it up. So like that, we see how much, you know, we're going off track in our chanting. No, tomorrow I'll do another at least 2 or 10 seconds, something like that. completely fixed. And the next day, another 10 seconds. Another. I mean, we got a lot, we got a whole lifetime. We've already been chanting the whole life. Yeah, but systematically, somehow or another, we have to chant Hare Krishna nicely and attentively like that. Because the result's not going to come until we're chanting very nicely and attentively. Otherwise, how we can measure Krishna? By our own process. And Brahma can't do it, Shiva can't do it. How we can expect here it says, how we can measure Krishna. It's an example of Anantadeva. Anantadeva was, this is from the Dhammapadiya. Bhaktivinoda Thakura is giving evidences about Navadvipa. So he's saying, Lord Shiva is speaking, O Parvati, one day the Lord known as Anantadev, the king of the snakes, went to Swetadvipa, Lord Vishnu, the protector of the three worlds, resides. The thousand-headed Ananta offered his respects to the all-powerful Vishnu and praised him by reciting the Purusha Shukta. Then with folded hands he inquired from the Lord. Nagaraj, Ananta said, O Narayan, the ocean of mercy, you know everything, and you are affectionate to your devotees. By your mercy I support this earth. By your mercy I have been able to see and understand all moving and non-moving things. Now I wish to see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. O husband of Lakshmi, by the mercy of your lotus feet, I have been able to go everywhere except Vrindavan. Now my desire is to go to Mahavan, the best of the dhams. Please tell me how I can go there. Hearing Nagaraj speak, the Lord of Swetadvipa, Madhusudan, slightly smiled and spoke the following sweet words. The Supreme Lord said, O greatly intelligent Nagaraj, how can you ask such a question? This is like desiring to cross the ocean by holding on the tail of a dog. O upholder of the earth, what great austerities, what pious activities have you done that you desire to...